responding to a need. So we're doing that. And in writing this new book, which is the new book that she and I did, The Startup Guide to Guerrilla Marketing, just before that I wrote an update of the original Guerrilla Marketing book. And it was updated, it was totally written, because you can't update something as timeless as marketing. So I researched and came up with a list of 200 marketing weapons, most of which are free, most of which are free weapons and most people don't know about them. And it's so possible to be an aggressive marketer of any kind of business anywhere without your head off and by using these 200 weapons. So in the early 80s, I wrote a book about the 100 weapons of marketing. That's on the bestseller list now, and I wrote it in like 1982. And that shows that people like bite-sized chunks of information, and they like learning how they can market aggressively without investing aggressively. And as a result, this new book that I'm going to write next year is called The 200 Weapons of Guerrilla Marketing. The number has doubled, and right now, of the 100 new ones, almost all are e-weapons. They're weapons that take advantage of online, because online marketing is 55 times simpler than people think it is. It's very inexpensive if you do it right, and I'm writing books about how to do it right. And it is the big revolution, but as with television and as with lots of marketing weapons, it was abused before it was properly used. People who did it didn't do it right. They're just learning how to do television right, although I'm not so sure. It seems that only some people have learned how to do television right. Same is true online marketing. Most people are clueless when it comes to having a website or it comes to marketing online. They think it's all about having a website. They don't realize that it's really all email. And compiling a list, very, very carefully cultivated list of opt-in people, people who want to be on your mailing list. The fact that I hope everybody remembers when I speak to them about marketing is that at any given point, no matter what, 4% of that population wants to buy what you are selling. And at any given point, no matter what, another 4% want to get information on it so they can make a purchase decision ASAP. So the reality to that means that 92% of the people don't really care. They don't want to buy it. Not now. They don't even want to hear about it. So marketing is transformed, and instead of using marketing to make the sale, which you've got to have your head in the clouds if you think that that's possible. You can't use marketing to make the sale, but here's what you can use it for. You can use it to gain people's consent. And as you just heard me say, 4% of those will give you their consent in a second. 4% will give you their consent in a second and a half. And the other 92% don't want to give you their consent. They've got more things to do and better things to do than pay attention to your marketing. So that's why the word opt-in is now in the dictionary. So what the person who's a guerrilla marketer has got to do is to start compiling a list of people who want to be on that list. These aren't lists that you buy or rent, or these aren't lists that you with others. These are lists that you compile yourself by asking everybody where they heard of you, so you can know what media is working, and asking everybody for their email address. And then the key to marketing online is sending those people very brief emails, never more than a page long. Should have a hyperlink to the website that can be as long as you want, because no matter how long you make it, when you finally stop writing it, you're going to be resented by a lot of people because they wanted you to tell them even more. That means the people who are in the market, really in the market, and the people who aren't in the market, you got to love those people because they're telling you, don't waste your money on me. I'm not in the market for what you're selling. Focus what you're doing just on the who want to hear from you. You then find a way to expand the permission that they've given to you, described by Seth Godin in his book Permission Marketing. Here in Guerrilla Land, we call it consent. The idea is try to gain people's consent, feel good about the people who withhold that consent because they're saying, your money on me now. But really treat those other people like family. Really treat them well. And you'll find that by gaining consent and then broadening that consent, marketing becomes inexpensive, simple, and it becomes very profitable for you. So here you asked me a question that had a short answer, and you won't believe this. You won't believe this, Harry, but that wasn't the short answer.
You know what, Jay? I'm just sitting here absolutely soaking up all this information. That is absolutely fantastic. I've just written a whole bunch of other notes here along the side of my page thinking, I've got to ask you this, but I don't want to interrupt you because you are such an inspirational speaker. It's absolutely fantastic. One of the things that just hit me, Jay, you said you had your students write a 7-sentence guerrilla marketing plan. Now you've come up with 200 marketing weapons. Is it something you can kind of connect together between using 200 marketing weapons kind of in with this 7-step guerrilla marketing plan? Would that work hand-in-hand?
It would work hand-in-hand, and I'll do it now because it's such a simple thing to do. I guess I was lucky when I worked with Leo Burnett. He showed us the simplicity of marketing. Most other people tell you about the complexity. As far as the 200 weapons of guerrilla marketing, there are two ways to get them now without waiting for me to... One way is to go to our website at gmarketing.com. There it is for free, a list of the 200 guerrilla marketing weapons. Another way is to go to Guerrilla spelled with two R's and two L's, Guerrilla Marketing Association, and they've got a list of the 200 guerrilla marketing weapons.
Okay.
Or the other thing that people could do, to get a list sent to them and get onto our mailing list and get several free newsletters. They should just send email to Amy at gmarketing.com, and they should say, Amy, please send me your list of 200 weapons. There's no charge. And she'll send you the list of 200 weapons, but she'll also see to it that you get a newsletter once a week and that you'll learn what else the Guerrilla Marketing Association offers. So that's how you start with the 200 weapons. I can't do that in a hurry, but I can do the 7-sentence marketing plan, Terry.
Oh, please, and yeah.
I hope everybody listening has a paper and a pencil because this is an easy thing I'm going to ask you to do. First of all, you should know that when I was teaching at Berkeley, I gave all my students this exercise. I said, write a 7-sentence marketing plan. I'll tell you what the structure is, 7 sentences. And whatever you do, don't take more than 5 minutes to write it. But there's a point you've got to trust your instincts. It's right now when you write your 7-sentence marketing. And I said, I'm going to charge you. I will charge you $10,000 to do it for you. I said, but you're going to do it yourself in 5 minutes. And so that's like you're saving $2,000 an hour. But that's really about. So here's the structure that every listener should follow in order to get a marketing plan that's as strong as any marketing plan in the country. It's all you really need. One of the most successful marketing companies on planet Earth is Procter & Gamble. Almost all their products are in first place or second place in their product category. And amazingly, as big as they are, for all of their products, they have a 7-sentence marketing plan. And I modeled mine after theirs. And I did a lot of work with Procter & Gamble when I was working at ad agencies in Chicago and in London. And I found out that this works for them. And it works for my students. It's going to work for your listeners because this is all you really need. So all the sentences, by the way, are short, except for one.
Okay.
If you take more than 5 minutes to do this, you're missing out on the point I'm trying to make, which is you must trust your instincts. Don't take more than 5 minutes to write it. I rarely see people take as long as 5 minutes because you don't need more than 5 pages. 5 sentences, because otherwise that's going to complicate you. and I don't want marketing to be complicated for any gorilla. So the first sentence tells the purpose of your marketing, what physical act you want people to take. Do you want them to click to your website, call an 800 number, look for your product next time they're at the store, go to your store? What physical act do you want people to take? That's pretty easy to say in one sentence, and that's all you need in that sentence. The second sentence is about your benefits, but it's only about one of your benefits. I ask all gorillas to create a benefits list, a list of all the benefits people derive from doing business with them. But I say, your competitors offer those same benefits for the most part, but you probably offer some benefits that are competitive advantages that they don't offer. So I say, put a circle around your competitive advantages. And in the marketing plan, I say, that's what your second sentence should be. What is your competitive advantage? You may have 5 competitive advantages. Don't put them all down there. That's going to complicate people, which is the last thing that people need when they're looking at marketing. Tell your main competitive advantage, and that's how you're going to achieve your purpose.
Just before we go on there, Jay, can we just go over what's the advantage or what's the difference between a feature and a benefit so people are clear on that?
A feature is what is in your product, and a benefit is what that means to them, what they derive out of it. I have a client who says, we go to Norway to select our furniture. And the feature, that's the feature, Norwegian slat beds. But the benefit of that is that you have a more inexpensive sleeping surface, and it gives you the kind of body support that you need. And you don't need to worry about a dirty inner spring mattress. You can do it with a slat bed such as are in Norway. And my client goes up to the Scandinavian countries, but especially Norway, to do his research in furniture, and it's he who does that hard work. But his target audience, they don't care that he goes to Norway. They care that they're going to have the most bed they've ever had, that's going to cost them way less than they've spent on a bed before, and it's going to give them very healthy back support. That's what the benefits are. And he may have one benefit that he also offers, such as you have adjustable firmness. You can move the slats around in your bed and adjust the firmness. Right now they're making a big deal out of that at the Sleep Number or Tempur-Pedic. There's other beds saying, here's how to adjust our bed. And they cost quite a bit, and they're worth every cent. But my client, his is just a matter of adjusting the slats. And so that's his competitive advantage. And he tells the people what it means to them. Did that answer your question, Jerry?
Yeah, thanks, Jay. I just wanted to make sure that people are clear between a feature and a benefit, because I know when way back in the day when I was in advertising, it was very difficult at the beginning to figure out, well, what's a feature and what's a benefit, because it seemed to be that everything could be kind of interchangeable. But that explanation is absolutely perfect. Thank you.
Well, here's the thing to keep in mind, that everybody to keep in mind. Quality is not what people think it is. Quality is not what you put into your product. Quality is what people get out of your product. Quality isn't what you put into your service. It's what people get out of your service. And that's what marketing is all about. Don't talk to them about you. They don't care. Talk to them about themselves. They care like crazy. So here we are with the first telling the purpose of your marketing, and the second sentence telling the competitive advantage to achieve that purpose. The third sentence tells your target audience. You've got a target audience who's most likely to buy what you were selling. Maybe you have more than one target audience. Most companies do. I was doing work for a copying company in San Francisco, and I asked the guy, I said, out of all the businesses in this population area of 8 million, I said, what industry churns out the most copies? And without hesitating, he said, well, the legal industry. I said, well, are you targeting any of your marketing to the legal industry? He says, what a good idea. He says, we'll get some money aside and just talk to others. I said, no, don't get some money aside. Use the money you're already using to talk to just the general public and divert some of that to talk to lawyers. Don't spend another extra second. Just aim at a second target audience. So he did that, And next year, his profits went up 31%, but he didn't spend 1 cent extra on marketing. It was just a matter of him identifying a second target audience. So the first sentence tells the purpose. The second sentence tells the competitive advantage of stress to achieve that purpose. The third sentence tells your target audience, or your target audience may have more than one, as you just saw. The fourth sentence is the only long one. In fact, it's so long it should be expressed as a list. The fourth tells the marketing weapons you'll use. And as I say, there's 200 of them, and of those 200, more than 100 are free. And anybody who takes marketing seriously would be intrigued at the thought of using free marketing weapons. I know people with multi-million dollar businesses who invest under $1,000 a year in marketing. I know a woman who did nearly $5 million last year. She spent $300 in marketing. It's
total.
A matter of... Pardon?
$300 total.
$300 total.
Can you give us like maybe four or five of these things?
Pardon?
Can you give us maybe four or five of these marketing weapons?
Sure, but I'm going to let me just finish this seven sentence plan.
Sure.
And then we can look at some of those marketing weapons.
Okay.
The fifth sentence tells your niche in the marketplace. What do you stand for? When people hear the name of your business, what's the first thing that enters their mind? Is it speed, economy, convenience? Is it innovation? What is it? Personalized service? When people hear the name of your business, something enters their mind, and you've got to be in charge of what that something is. And so what you've got to do is let that niche, known also as your positioning, come shining through all of your marketing material. And if you're clear on your niche, your public will be clear on your niche. The sixth sentence, it's an I word, and it tells this I word. It does not tell your image, because an image is phony. An image is a lie, defined in the dictionary as a facade. People say, what should our image be? And then they decide that should be some things that they really aren't. And when people come in and meet them, they think, ooh, I'm misrepresented too. These people aren't who I expected, and they aren't who they said they were. So get away from image, and instead the sixth sentence should tell your identity, because your identity is still your company personality, which you need, and it stems from truth and honesty. It's who you really are. No one's going to be disappointed when they meet you, because you're exactly who you said you'd be, and they're going to feel a sense of trust when they see that you're just who they expected and just who you said you would be. And the seventh sentence tells your marketing budget. And your marketing budget be expressed, for simplicity's sake, as a percentage of your projected gross sales. Example, in 2006, the average business in Europe and the United States invested 4% of their gross sales in marketing. The gorilla says, only 4%? What would happen if I invested 6%? What about 8% or even 10%? The point is that if you know what your marketing budget is, you can reduce it here, because when you use a lot of marketing weapons, some are going to hit the bullseye and some are going to miss the target. And if you're paying attention, you'll just switch. You could eliminate those marketing weapons that didn't hit the nail on the head for you. Now, to go through a list of 200 weapons is a monumental thing. So I'll pick out maybe 10 weapons if you should. But I'll tell you, the weapon that this woman used with her word processing business in Northern California, the one who did close to $5 million while spending $300 total in her marketing, she realized that there are community bulletin boards in every city, major city of the United States. And she knew that her product was word processing. So she knew that a way of finding a whole target audience for herself would be at universities. So she got permission, and she put up signs at universities, inside and outside, talking about her low rates for her totally flawless typing. And by doing that, you can see it doesn't cost any money to put up those little flyers. And she's talking exactly to her target audience. since she's talking rural, and the $300 a year, she says, that's the cost of driving to the campuses. She says, because that's all I do. I just really go to the campus and talk to somebody there and find out the right places to put my little signs and circulars up, and that's one way. And that's a free marketing weapon. Here are some other highlight marketing weapons. I told you before, the list that you compile that you're going to be sending email to, that's one of the weapons. Having a marketing plan that we just talked about before, that's a marketing weapon. Another marketing weapon are your days and hours of operation. All businesses were started for the convenient business owner. Only now is it realized, well, that's wrong. Businesses should be started for the convenience of the customer. More word of mouth marketing. Boy, this is heavy duty. Write a column for a publication. There are lots of free publications that are almost every city. Offer to do a column at no cost. Only has to be identified by your name and your website. If you haven't got the time to do a column, write an article. If you can get past your speaker's fear, your services as a speaker to clubs. If you do that, the statistics show between 33% and 50% of the people in the club will end up being customers of yours because they know you're speaking for free at their club and you're not trying to sell them anything. You're just trying to tell them information of worth and value. Another one. Another important weapon is community involvement. People would much rather buy from friends than from strangers. When you become active in the community, working for the community, you're separating yourself from the ranks of strangers. And it's really important that you do that. Realize that in guerrilla marketing, the biggest difference, well, there's 20 differences, but the biggest difference is that traditional marketing says the way to market is to invest your money. And guerrilla marketing says if you want to invest your money, you can, but you really don't have to if you're willing to make these investments: time, energy, imagination, and information. And if you're willing to invest those things, time, energy, imagination, and information, you're going to find you don't have to invest in any money, really, in marketing, because all marketing really is the truth made fascinating. Marketing.
I love that.
That's just the truth. And it's a sad thing is that most marketing now is neither the truth nor fascinating. If you're going to stand out, if yours is the truth and it is fascinating, another marketing weapon. We used to increase the profits at Midas Mufflers by over $10 million in 1 year. And you ask yourself how much did it cost them and you realize hardly anything. It's tele-demeanor. It's how your phone is answered. The most important people on earth are the people who call your business. How are they treated on the phone? We found out that Midas muffler shops and brake shops and other auto service shops, that they were getting 100% of their initial contacts by phone. They were only converting 71% of those phone calls into appointments. That means they were dropping the ball 29 times out of 100. So we gave them a half-day class in phone demeanor, and Midas brought in one new rule, and that was you're not allowed to answer the phone at a Midas muffler shop unless you've taken this half training on telephone demeanor. Now,
what did you do there? Can you give us the specifics?
We just spent half an hour telling people how to be on the telephone. You've got to speak slower than ordinarily. You've got to speak lower than ordinarily. You've got to do a lot of listening. You've got to ask questions and listen to the answers. And you've got to treat each person as the reason you're in business, whereas right now they're being treated like an interruption of your business. Telephone demeanor means realizing that people can see a smile. And if you're smiling when you're on the phone, they can hear it. Know you're smiling. And if you do those little things, being friendly, not talking too fast, not talking too high, and treating people as though you're really glad they called, how much does that cost you? How much did that cost Midas? And they went from 71% of our orders being converted to appointments to 94%. it went up that much just simply by saying, if you've not taken the telephone training course in Midas, you can't answer the phone. More really impressive, very high impact free marketing weapons are free consultations, free seminars, free clinics, free appraisals, free demonstrations. Are you getting it that the most powerful word in the lexicon of marketing is free? That's what it's really about. And in marketing, you can offer them all these things, free consultations, seminars, clinics, demonstrations, samples, if you can. Another of your crucially important marketing weapons are media contact. People say, I would like to be on radio and television. I'd like to have articles appear about me. But that's not going to happen. And most publicity releases and most press kits get tossed. So you've got to get to know people on the first name basis at the media. And you talk to them on the first name basis and you tell them what your information is, and then, you know, over the context of lunch. They like free lunches, like everybody, they like free things.
Yep.
If you know people and you talk to them human to human, looking in their eyes, next day your star is going to appear in their newspaper or you're going to be a talk show guest on their station. It's all going to be because of media contact. How much money did that take? No money, time, energy, imagination, and information. I told you about one of the other 200, which is online marketing. Many people think that's the whole thing. Online marketing is the whole game. And here am I saying, no. It's only 1/200th of marketing. Right. 109 other marketing weapons. Another of the weapons of marketing is a word that you'll never hear a marketing professor say. And you'll never read this in any marketing textbooks, except my own books. You'll hear this if you attend the seminar. But it's a neatness. It's the first line of the Nordstrom Park marketing plan, first line of the Disney marketing plan. It's amazing that if people see your premises are neat, they'll assume that's the way you run your business. If they see your premises are sloppy, they assume that's the way you run your business. It's interesting that one of the biggest neat freaks on earth was Ray Kroc, the head of McDonald's.
Uh-huh.
Everything had to be neat with him, and yet, when you do studies to find out why people patronize McDonald's, the number one reason is clean restrooms. The number two reason is good French fries. Interesting how sugar has to do with it. Another one of the big neat freaks was Walt Disney. He was famed for his almost compulsion about neatness, but as a result, you go to Disneyland, my wife and I went to Epcot.